Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us out of this world and its darkness into the bright sunshine of your love and mercy and grace and care and providence and blessing and purpose and direction and ways, and adding the life of the Spirit to us. And we just pray that your kingdom will advance mightily upon this land. Lord, we see that, and you know it anyway, that we're a needy people in this land. And we've been hiding behind our tradition. But we've also been making void the word of God by our tradition. And we ask you, even as you promised, to pour out your Spirit upon this land. And then we ask you, Holy Spirit, to show people of their need of Jesus. Amen. And of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And of the alternative kingdom, of the present darkness, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Father's love, and bring them back to you. Bring us to you in this land. Raise up an army of workers, of people walking in love, anointed by the Spirit, who've been touched by you, who are walking in joy, who are walking in exuberance, who are agents of your compassion. Lord, do a mighty work in our land. Amen. Thank you for showing us how depraved and how fallen we are. But we know that's not the last word, Lord. We ask you to send a great new awakening over Ireland in Jesus' mighty name. We ask you to mightily use Cornerstone here in Dungarvan in the southeast, and every single one of us here. And we ask you for a mighty blessing, a mighty moving of your Spirit, your outstretched hand and your mighty arm, and the hundreds and the thousands of people around this area, Lord, who have seemed to have no interest in you. Would you touch their consciences? Would you speak to them in dreams and visions? Would you make them hungry for you, Lord, and open to any message that we share with them? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in Ireland. And Lord, though our sins are like scarlet, we show you the blood of Jesus. That's a bigger reality. So have mercy on us once again and bring this land to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, these are definitely days of destiny in Ireland. And there's a big sadness over the body of Christ in Ireland today. There's sadness, and at the same time, there's excitement. I believe there's excitement. Because we grew up in Ireland, in a very triumphalistic Ireland. We were Catholic Ireland. We were so good. We were the best and holiest people in the world, and all of this. But we weren't. We hid behind religion. And this kingdom of God can only be entered into by faith in the blood of Jesus. And we're going to see the real Christianity shine in this land. We were thinking a few years ago of how Christianity has changed in Ireland since the days of St. Patrick. St. Patrick, we know that he was mightily touched by God. He prayed in tongues. He spoke about taking authority over the devil. He spoke about spiritual warfare. He spoke about being lifted out of the miry pit and placed upon a rock. He spoke about salvation. He spoke about the Holy Spirit. He was a mighty warrior. And back in those days, 432, the 5th century, and in the centuries after that, for example, Patrick would never have seen a crucifix. Can you believe that? He would never have seen a crucifix. The crucifix only came in around the 9th century. He would have seen the cross, but not the crucifix with the body on it. He would not have seen a crucifix. He would never have seen a rosary beads. Isn't that amazing? He wouldn't have said a Hail Mary. He would never have gone to confession. He would never have gone to benediction. I'm just saying facts now. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just... So that the Christian... That's just history. He wouldn't have known what the seven sacraments are. He wouldn't have known what a cardinal was. It's amazing, isn't it? So what the Christianity of those days was so different than the Christianity we have today, that we grew up in Ireland. So different, it had changed. I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm just saying the facts. And of course the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth. And he wants to bring to our remembrance things. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring to truth. And he wants to sanctify us. He wants to sanctify us. That is, he wants to make us holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, what God intended us to be. And we have the faith of Abram. You know, Abram wasn't the holy Joel, was he? I mean, he was a farmer, he was a shepherd, he was a bit of a warrior too, wasn't he? I mean, he wasn't in and out to creepy old churches, excuse me. You know, he wasn't in and out to creepy old gothic places. Patrick would never have seen a gothic shape or a spire. Can you imagine? Never seen any of those things. So whatever the Christianity of those days, it had nothing of those. It was different. He wouldn't have known what a nun was. This is our Irish heritage, faith of our fathers. What's the faith of our fathers? And so the Holy Spirit is bringing us back to the power of the book of Acts. For Joel says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's all flesh, that's all nations. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is to speak the word of God. Men and women will speak the word of God to say the church is misogynist. No, not God isn't anyway. Men and women speaking the word of God. That's amazing. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even now my maidservants will pour out my spirit after those days. These are the days of Pentecost. We were brought up to think that Pentecost was happened, something that happened to the early Christians in the upper room just to get the church started. And they got titles and they began to start the organization. Sort of like Bill Gates or sort of like Steve Jobs, you know, they got the organization started. No, the Holy Spirit is with us always. And what we've had, what Jesus mandated his first disciples was to go into the whole world and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe, that means to do, everything I ask you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the task was that through the Holy Spirit, and through the proclamation of the Word of God, God would make disciples. What's a disciple? It's an apprentice. He'd make apprentices of Jesus who are learning to do the works that Jesus did. So our task is not just to come to church, but the task is to make disciples, that every one of us will know the Lord for ourselves. The mark of the New Testament is, according to Jeremiah, when he prophesied the New Testament, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with them when they brought them out of Egypt, that covenant which they broke. But this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I write my law within their hearts and upon their minds, and they shall all know me. Everyone will know the Lord for himself. Everybody will know the Lord. We no need for one person to tell the other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Doesn't mean there'll be no teaching or no exhorting or no, did you see this in the word? But it means everybody will be enjoying the goodness of God. Everybody will be smelling the fragrance of his presence. Everybody will be enjoying his goodness for themselves. Loretta brought out that prophecy of Isaiah, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. We have to admit that of all the countries in the world today, Ireland is one of the darkest countries in the world. Not just in the absence of sunshine, although there may be a connection. It's one of the darkest countries in the world. What other country in the world has chosen to say that marriage isn't what it really is? Has chosen. I mean, other places that have foisted on it by a lawsuit. Did America choose abortion? America's had abortion since 1973. It never chose it. It was foisted on it by the law courts. But Ireland is the country that chose it. Chose it for ourselves. And all we like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to our own way. That's the mark of a human being who's gone astray. He's going to his own way. Now, but I'm not going to stay with bad news tonight. I'm in the good news business. I bring you news of great joy. This is a new Passover generation in Ireland. It's a new Passover generation. And what's a Passover generation? Remember the Passover? When those people were in chains, they were in bondage, they couldn't go to their destiny. They had a destiny in the land of promise, but they weren't able to get there because they were brought up as slaves to think of themselves as slaves, and they were held in by a power greater than themselves, until the day came when the blood of the Lamb was applied to each doorpost. When the blood of the Lamb was applied to their doorpost, and each one did it individually, the angel of destruction that was coming upon the whole society didn't come upon them. And as they applied the blood, after they applied it, they walked out towards their destiny. Being a follower of Jesus isn't just saying, I believe in Jesus for the remission of sins, but I'm walking out of my old despair into the purposes for which God created me. God has created us for purpose. A long time ago, many years ago, when I was a student, I studied philosophy for 3 whole years, nothing but philosophy. Actually, it wasn't that boring, but but it was interesting. Today, if you ask the philosophers in Trinity College, Harvard University, Oxford, Cambridge, you name it, ask the philosophers, what's the meaning of life? That's the sort of thing that philosophers are supposed to answer. And in the old days, like 100 years ago, 200 years ago, in philosophy, they'd say, well, you can't really figure out the meaning of life unless you bring God into the equation. And we can therefore, and first of all, then we have to establish that God is real. And if I think, I am. And then if somebody has must have made me, if I think, and so on, there must be, I must have a first cause. And they would say, God exists, therefore we are connected with him. And they'd go from philosophy into theological issues. Now, today, the philosophers are not allowed to bring God into the picture. So now define what a human being is apart from relationship with God. That's what they're told to. You can't bring God into the picture. Define what a human being is apart from relationship with God. What can you define what your finger is apart from your relationship with the hand? My finger, apart from relationship to the hand, is like 2 cents worth of meat for a dog, right? That's it. But because it's attached to my hand, it's priceless. It's priceless. So this God has created us, and not only that, he has spoken to us. In many and various ways, God spoke to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through the Son. He's the one. If you want to follow the meaning of life and discover what the abundant life is, why you were made, follow him. God has said that. If we are created, he sent his Son, spoke in many ways, showing the time of his birth, that he would be born in Bethlehem, showing the place of his birth, that he was born in Bethlehem, showing the time of his birth, that he would be born 70 years after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. And he had all his ministry done within that period. So there's no doubt left. And then he proved by his wonderful miracles and by his resurrection, he's the one, follow him. Christianity isn't a little club. It's the meaning of life. And Heavenly Father made us to know us, to love us, to be a father to us. Not just to be a God a million miles away, but to be a loving father. To take all those who are abandoned and orphaned and left out and unwanted, and to take us in his arms and to give us a home. Now, when the first Passover took place in Egypt, they were moving out of their slavery into a promised land that God had promised to them, the land of Canaan, Israel. That was the Passover of the Jewish people, out of bondage into their destiny and land of promise. When Jesus came with his Passover, he came on earth with 3 things. John introduced Jesus. You know, if there's a boxing match, see, you go to the boxing rink and say, in the right corner is the lightweight champion of America. And in the left corner is the lightweight champion of the world, Katie Taylor, right? You have announced who's there. John had the privilege of announcing who Jesus was. He said, first of all, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, God's rule. There's something better for the world than the European Union. I don't know, if you could possibly imagine that. Something better than the European Union. There's something better for Ireland and you and me than Dáil Éireann. Yes. If you can imagine that. Something better than the United Nations. The rule of God, the benign and loving rule of God is at hand, available through the channel of faith to all to come to Him. The kingdom of God is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not just covers them, but takes them away. And He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Three things. Kingdom of God, the Lamb that takes away the sins, and the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants to do for us. That's the introduction. So when Jesus was coming to His last Passover, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Remember in John chapter 13 to 20? I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. Now, when you see the word you, you put in your own name.
Me.
You put me. Hey, I'm talking to you. You talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. So whenever you see we or you, it's me, right? So it's not just about the Apostle Paul or the apostles. That's what they did. They turned the Bible into a history book rather than an everlasting message from God to us. In Revelation, it says, I saw an angel flying to the earth with an everlasting gospel to preach to the people of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That means in the last days, this everlasting gospel is going to whack Ireland. Yes. But we have to get rid of this religion that has grown up around us. I'm not anti, but if you see this, we've destroyed the word of God by our tradition. Jesus said that. Didn't He love His Jewish people? Don't I love the Irish Christian people? Of course I do. Don't I love the Irish people? Of course I do. But it's a tragedy to me to see the word of God made void by tradition. Mm. People climbing Kirkpatrick on their knees, going to knock for mumbo jumbo. Hiding behind religion. People joining the church just so they can get some blessing and have a fancy wedding or a big send-off on their funeral after they're not even there. Or get a baptism so they can get membership of a school. Ridiculous. So this Passover, Jesus said, final Passover, I'm preparing the place for you. And what is the place? For the Jewish people, who was the land of promise, what's the place for us? In My Father's house, there's room for you. Talk more about that. He wants you to be a first-class member of the Father's house. And He's prays later on, in John 17, I'm praying that the love which the Father has for Me may be in you, and that the world will recognize that that the Father has loved them, that means you, the world has loved you, Veronica, Loretta, Lula, Paul, that the world has loved us, put in your name, even as He loved, that the Father has loved, put in your name, even as He has loved Jesus. That's my home. That's where I belong. Our hearts are restless. They don't belong in this. See, if the world doesn't satisfy, you can have all the entertainment. You can go to Mick Jagger's concert, you know, every week. Ed Sheeran. You can go on holidays all over the world. You can try more exotic destination. Each year, you can. I mean, people go to Australia for a two-week holiday now. It's cheaper than going to Ballybunion, probably. I don't know, but anyway, they go there. But it doesn't satisfy in a lasting way. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't satisfy. The Irish people are starving, starving, and you know what? They're empty. They're empty. Imagine thinking it's a liberation. I mean, it's one thing if they passed that vote and people said, yeah, we regret to have to kind of work along with a reality that we have to allow for this. But to be cheering that they now have the right to do this instead of a sadness about it. I mean, that's depravity. That's depravity. That's up there with Nazism. That's just bad. But it's not the end of the story. God is going to bring us home. God's yearning for the prodigal sons, the woman at the well. He's yearning, He's longing, and He's loving. So in this Passover, He's going to bring us out of our darkness into the Father's house. He's going to reattach us to God's love. He says, I'm preparing a place for you. He's giving us a new commandment. Your life is to be governed by love. And love is to be expressed by serving one another. Isn't that interesting? Lowly service of one another is what you spend your life doing. Doesn't matter if people give you credit or not. He sees. Take an interest in one another. To love one another means to take an interest in one another. I wonder how many people in the fellowship here that you've taken interest in. You've had a cup of coffee or that you've invited home to supper or that you've taken interest in. I meddle in there, I shouldn't say that question. But anyway, they would devote ourselves to love one another. Then he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm attaching you to my life. Now we look at John 20, at the reverse side, after Jesus has risen. He now applies the benefits of his blood. And he says, first he appears to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had actually driven a whole pile of demons. She might have had depression, she might have had, I don't know what was her problems, but she had some issues, but the Lord sorted her, right? And which is the case of all of us. Whatever our issues in the past, we come to him, total cleansing, and he sorts us. But he says, don't touch me yet. I'm going to my Father, your Father, my God and your God. That's the answer to the prayer in John 17, that the world will know that they have loved them even as thou hast loved me. From now on, Mary, he's as much your Father as he is my Father. That's pretty awesome. One of the things, it said in John's Gospel, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the things that he's stolen from the Irish people, and everyone really, but we're painfully reminded of it today, is our identity. That's what I was talking about the philosophers. They can't give you their identity. Make it, and they all come up with this answer. Make it up. Well, I think I'd like to think of myself, I'm a 7-foot basketball player. Well, I decide who I am, right? They do stuff like that. The head of the, in America, they have an organization called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That's an old-fashioned word, NAACP. Colored people don't use that now, they'll say the word black. But Martin Luther King had been the national leader of it at one stage. This lady was the state head of NAACP, and she was Irish. She wasn't black at all. She said, she just said, I'm black. No, it doesn't matter what you said, but it isn't. You're not what you're not, and you are what you are, right? You don't make it up. Now people say, well, I think my gender is this and that and the other. No, you don't make it up. See, now, when man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, back in the beginning, man was in God with the glory, he lacked nothing, walking with God, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. It was beautiful. Everything was provided by the Heavenly Father. I mean, God created it all and then he put them in. Everything's ready for you. Enjoy. And it's all yours to take authority over, have dominion over it. And I'll be with you. Anything you need to know, I'll be there. Just ask me. But after a while, I said, let's try and get this thing going without God. Let's try and get our lives going. So they said, God, nice talking to you. We'll be on our way. Yet of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was not a banana tree or an apple tree. It meant they decided to be guided by their own opinions without reference to God. See? And make up for themselves what was good and evil. So now they've decided it's a good thing for women to kill their children if they want to, or to feel a little bit of pressure or stress. They decide what's good and evil. But they're making it up. And the problem is they come into darkness. They don't have no intention of doing evil. They think they're doing good, those people. May the Lord have mercy on every one of them. But then when they realize they've done wrong, they know what they did? They hid. Mankind, when we fall in our own way, we're hiding from God. We're hiding. We can hide behind religion. We can hide behind rebellion. We can blame God, oh, God's evil, like Richard Dawkins. But Jesus wants us no longer to hide, to come back to the full sunshine of Heavenly Father's love. So on the day of the resurrection, he says, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And then he manifests to his disciples. Now Jesus is as much in this room as he was in that room. And what he did for them, he wants to do for us and is doing for us. Because the Holy Spirit takes the stuff out of general theory and brings it to you. Now, we read there is in John's Gospel chapter 20. I read the scripture because the word itself has power in it. Mark, Luke and John. John chapter 20. Verse 21, it says, when he had shown them the nail prints, his side, and hands, they knew it was the Lord. This is the man who was on the tree. What he was doing was saying, I have taken, successfully taken, all the blame, shame, and guilt of any of your wrongdoing. That's fantastic, isn't it? The cross means that God has successfully, the resurrection means, that God has successfully transferred unto Jesus every record of your wrongdoing. And when you believe in that, it becomes yours by experience, and you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He not only transferred all your guilt and shame and sins and sin and hurt and pains unto him, he then transfers all Jesus' righteousness unto you. You've heard the word justified. Yeah. It means your legal guilt was taken by Jesus. But when you put your faith in that, it means more. Jesus' righteousness was placed upon you. That's awesome. There was a transfer of all your guilt unto him. And then there was a transfer of all his righteousness unto you. Oh! That's your identity back, by the way. So he said to them, peace to you. That's the word you're reading. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, I was with a group there a while back, several months back, and I asked them, how is a person made and brought into right standing with God? And someone put up their hand and said, by faith. I said, good answer, but it's not the right answer. Another person said, by grace. That was a good answer, wasn't it? I said, it's a good answer, but not the right answer. So now they were getting very nervous. Because the Bible says, by grace, you're saved through faith. Not of works that anyone should boast. It's a gift. Do you know perfect standing with God is a total gift? Not on the basis of my performance or your performance, I tell you, but on the basis of his performance before any of us were even born. We lost paradise. Not by any works that we did, but Adam lost it. And we gained it, not by any works that we did, but what Jesus did. And all of you say, Lord, I agree. I'm going to take the boarding pass. Can I jump on this train? Yeah. So I said, it's not by grace, not by faith, first of all, because in Romans 3, it says, all had fallen short of the glory of God, the religious and the wild people. In Ireland, we used to have loads of religious people, not so many wild people. Now we have loads of wild people, not so many religious people, but it's not that much net worse. But now the righteousness of God is revealed in a new way. Romans 3. In that God sent Jesus to be the propitiation, shame blamer, shame taker, blame bearer of all of our wrongdoing. And that's what the cross is. God laying on Jesus the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep had gone astray, had turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah said that before it happened. In the Gospels we see it happening. And now after the cross, Jesus says it's done. Too late for the devil to do anything about it. It remains only to put your faith in the propitiation, the blood. So, it's by faith, by the blood of Jesus, by faith in the blood of Jesus, that the grace of sonship and adoption comes upon you. Isn't that terrific? That's why Paul says in him we have redemption through the blood. If you like, you can say through the cross, through the death of Jesus. And since that's a done deal, and he's absolutely, God laid everything on him, all my guilt and blame and shame is on Jesus. And I happen to believe that, don't you? That's the gospel. Not only my sins, but the sins of the whole world. The sins of the yes people, if you like. But all that remains for people to know this and to sense the need of it and to put their faith in it. See, it's there for everyone, a wide open door, but just put your faith in it. And so the blood of Jesus is not only for the remission of sins, just like the blood of the Passover wasn't just to cover them from the destruction that came over Egypt that night. It was to give them a gateway to destiny. And when you put the blood over Jesus in your life, now you have a gateway to destiny. What's your destiny? To be a son of God. To be a disciple. Happy are the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but who walks in the ways of the Lord, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on his night, on it night and day. Not so are the wicked, not so. There's two choices, the way of the world or the way of the Lord. Choose you. As for me and my house, we choose the way of the Lord. Not just forgiveness of sins, but the way of the Lord. This is the way, walk in it. He who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. My rock is on building my life on God's purpose for me before the foundation of the world. I build my life on the rock of the done deal of the cross, and I'm building my rock on the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers me to live by the ways of Jesus. That's a disciple. Do you think that's the way that God intended for us before the foundation of the world? Do you think that's your destiny? Now, the universities, they can give you skills, you know, job skills, how law degree, you don't know how to operate in law and all that. They can give you computer skills. They can give you mathematical skills, scientific skills, engineering skills, medical skills. But they cannot give you the meaning of life. That's the life that can only come through us. So then he said, peace be with you. That's justified by faith, through faith in the blood, right? In him we have redemption. And we're fully reconciled to the Father. We have peace with God. Paul goes on and says, and God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know that the Father loves us even as he loves Jesus. Now, do you think that you can know the love of God by a Bible study? Paul says, the Holy Spirit is given to us to show us. See, I'm praying, he says to the Ephesians, remember? I'm praying that you will know. Now, they already knew they were saved, but there's still something missing in them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been praying this. That's why I pray for myself. I see a whole lot of missing stuff, right? Say, I'm praying that you'll know the height and length and depth of breadth and breadth of God's love for you. When you see you, whose name do you put in? Your own. It's personal to you. You know the height and breadth and length and breadth of God's love, which surpasses knowledge. The Holy Spirit is going to show it to you, not by a Bible study, but by you enjoying it for yourself. Anyone ever eat a brochure of a hamburger? It's accurate in describing what a hamburger is, but it's not. It won't feed you. And so the word is to lead you to the substance. Oh, Lord, I don't think I really fully know your love. Holy Spirit, would you just communicate Father's love to me more? Would you just melt any unloveliness out of my heart? I want to be able to really love you, Lord. And then he prays that we'll, instead of being rooted and grounded in fear or guilt or shame, that we'll be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Lovely to see a little four-year-old full of confidence, right? He's master of the universe. He's a superhero. Because he's rooted and grounded in love, it's all he knows. It's beautiful. Heavenly Father wants you to be rooted and grounded in love because of the blood. The Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can show you that. From the Reformation onwards, the church became very intellectual. The Reformation brought good things. But they tried to understand the things of God by the head. Bible study. Alone. without the Bible study leading you to the reality. And so in these days of the Holy Spirit that's been coming on the church for the last 100 years and on the whole world, the Holy Spirit is enabling us to see that these things that the early Christians knew are for ourselves. Then he prays that the Holy Spirit would show us the greatness of God's power at work in Benny Hinn. No, the greatness of God's power at work in you, which is the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead. That same power is working you. And that he'd show you the greatness of God's power towards you. You see, we were robbed. The thief came to rob us, and he robbed us of our identity. And he switched, robbed us. You know what these burglars do sometimes? Jewelry burglars. They'll rob the necklace of jewelry. They'll rob it. And they'll put a paste one in replacement. People won't know for a long time. And so he robbed the reality and he put religion in the same. That looked a bit like Jesus. We were robbed. Yeah. The fact. But we're a Passover generation. We're coming back to our destiny to be sons of God. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Holy Spirit will show you, who's you? The things that have been freely given to me by God, given to us by God, us as me. The Holy Spirit, not Bible study alone, the Holy Spirit will show you the realities, the things that have been freely given to you by God. A joint heir with Jesus, loved by God, filled with his life, appointed for good works, restored to his care. I was in the prison there a few months ago talking to one of the prisoners. And he said, I'm so scared of what's going to happen to me when I get out of prison. Because I've no home. I've no job. I haven't got money, job skills. And I'm so scared. I said, come on. Let's look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. I said, who's the Lord? That's God, right? YHWH. I am. The great I am. That's the Heavenly Father who created all the galaxies. Now, every little star is like a huge thermonuclear plant. Huge. Huge furnace. Can you imagine all the stars in the world? Huge thermonuclear fire. Except God is a thermonuclear fire of love. Where is the love directed? Who'll show you that? The Holy Spirit. And his love will melt all sadness, sorrow, despair, misery, looking for comfort in the wrong places that's been in you. I said, the Lord is your shepherd. I explained what the Lord was in that terms. Shepherd, what does shepherd mean? Personal caretaker and guarantor of your future. God is my personal caretaker. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm restored into fellowship with him. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And goodness and mercy will catch up with me now and again. Every single day is going to be wonderful with the Lord. Come on, Lord. Let's make it a great day. That's what Newell and I say when first thing getting out of bed in the morning most days. Come on, Lord. Holy Spirit, make it a great day. Help us to enjoy this day. He's got super beautiful things for you. For every single human being. He just loves us. Well, he loves me more than he loves you. He doesn't, not really. He loves, all of his love is towards each of us. So we will know this. Won't be just theory. And that this, then he said, he says, peace be with you. Then he said, breathing on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. What were we chained in? We were chained in guilt. That's the guilt of our sins. That was laid on Jesus. We were chained also in our Adamic nature. What's the Adamic nature? The sinful, selfish side of our nature that we got from Grandfather Adam all the way down our family tree. Has there been a curse in your family? You bet. Is there envy, jealousy, anger, lust, pride in you? You bet. It's been all of us. God says, I'm going to extract that out of you like a bad tooth and replace it with my spirit. I'll take out the heart of stone out of the Irish people. If they let me, there's a free coupon. Come into your local heart transplant surgeon. He'll extract that heart of stone. He'll replace it by the same spirit that was in Jesus. And that's what he did in the day of the resurrection. The guilt issue had been settled. Now we're restored. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, that new engine for living. And that spirit in them becomes a fountain that's bubbling up with love and joy and peace and kindness. That's the sin issue settled, the guilt of it. And now there's something new in the inside of me that wasn't there before. There's a love in you that wasn't there before. Christ in you, he's bubbling with love. His love is in you. His presence is in you. That you'll know the greatness of his power at work in you. The prodigal son, when he came home, what happened to him? That's like he came home to his destiny. And he came home. What did the father say? You blackguard, you. He just put his arm. He hugged him. He kissed him. He wept over him. This is Jesus describing the way the Heavenly Father wants to treat us. Oh, but he's done so many horrible, stupid things. Ah, that's the past, like 10 minutes ago. And he says, we won't even bring it up. Remember not the former things. The Lord has put these things away as far as the east is from the... If we come home. And we come home through the blood. The parable doesn't mention that, really. And Father wants to put his big, loving hands around us and give us a brand new start. Brush us off, wash us off. And then he puts a robe on us. New dignity. Destiny. And ring of authority. And the elder brother, what's he doing? Has he lost his gone bananas? This guy has wasted everything. Now, when I read that the Father loves Jesus wants me to know that the Father loves me as he loves Jesus. I read that. And interpreting it that way quite easily. And I want to hide. I want to say, God, I can't get that close to you. I can't allow you to do that for me. And I want to hide. And I say, I'll let the other people go there and I'll just do a bit of work for you. I become a little bit like the elder brother. I don't want to go right in and let him love me to that extent. And he says, come on. And Hebrews says, having boldness to enter by a new and a living way through the blood. So now, Lord, I ask you to give us all boldness to enter through the blood, not just boldness to be able to preach in the streets, but boldness to enter your love and to just be totally saturated, baptized in the love of the Father. That's our destiny. So the people outside there who don't know right from wrong, they're trying to make it up, they don't know their identity, that's the way they were trained in the universities. They don't know what you know. They've never experienced the cleansing blood, the restoration, the love of the Father. Only the Holy Spirit can make this known. They don't know what they're missing. But we know our destiny, and we found the Messiah, the hope of the world, to whom God sent to bring us back, everyone, from out of Adam into Christ. And to bring us back to our true identity, to live in his care, to live in his work. And he'll give us all our assignments. Now he's got a new set of assignments for us. Not to prove that you're worthy. No, because you're so full of his life, he wants to spread you around. He wants to spread you around. So Jesus said, John chapter 20, as soon as he said, peace be with you, the next thing he says is, as the Father sent me, so also I send you. Wow. And I think that's where we charismatics have missed it a little bit. As the Father sent me, it's your turn now. I'm sending you. Well, did we learn in our Christian tradition in Ireland? That there's a few clergy someplace and they'll do it, right? And we'll go on and do the secular chores. Who's going to bring the light to this generation? Us who've been touched by the Lord. The woman at the well with five husbands and a boyfriend. But when she was touched by the Lord, she was able to tell them, this guy, he told me about a new life. He told me he's the Messiah. The guy who had all the demons in him that went into the swine. Jesus said, you go back and you tell your own people. There were the lepers there back in Syria. There was a famine in Israel, and the lepers were so starving. They said, we'll go over to the Syrian camp. Maybe they'll give us a bite to eat. Then we'll live another day. And when they got there, the Syrian camp had emptied out. And there was all the food of the Syrian army, enough food for the Syrian army for months. And they gorged themselves in the food. And then they said, we've got to tell this to the rest of the people in Israel. And so we who have been touched by the Lord, now he says, as the Father sent me, so also I send you. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And now the only begotten Son who was sent by the Father into a world where there wasn't one born again Christian. He's now sending you into a land in where there are not many born again Christians, but there are thousands upon thousands, but they're not a huge percentage of the population. He's sending you to love them, to encourage them, to bless them, to befriend them, and to show them the way, the truth, and the life, and to teach them everything you've learned yourself. Teach them to do. And here's your website, www. A disciple walks in his ways, believes in his word, and manifests his works. Jesus wants you to do the works that he did. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Walk in love, walk in mercy, be a servant. He wants you to walk in his ways, and he wants you to walk in his word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. If you make his word and his ways that which you live by. As for me and my house, I'm going to live by the words of Jesus. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to empower me to do work, fold that into me, what it says in the word. I'm going to live by the word. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Wow. You're going to sanctify it. Every time you leave the word, you're going to be transformed from being conformed to this world to be transformed to be a disciple, somebody walking in the world controlled by heaven. Amen. Shining. Amen. That's you. Now there's your life mission. And a few months ago, we were at a conference in America, and at the conference, there was many younger people in their 20s and early 30s. And some of them had come from this particular city that I know. And I said to them, and where there are a few famous large churches, charismatic churches. And I said to them, do you go to any of those churches? And they said, no, we're not attracted to those churches. Now I learned something here. We're not attracted to those churches because those churches are all focused on how you can get your needs met by God. Nothing wrong. Oh my God supplies my every need. You can ask him by faith and all that. And you're in the realm of his provision. Absolutely. And you're out from the curse and you're in the blessing. But said, we want more than that. We don't just want God to bless our own little personal plans. We want to abandon our personal plans and to give our lives over to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He who loves his life will lose it. He loses his life, allows his own plans to be surrendered for the superior and more beautiful plans that God has for us. That's the abundant life. And he's calling a nation of disciples. I tell you, mere just getting your sins forgiven, that won't hack it. That won't bring in a harvest. That won't transform our society. In the Apostles' Creed, I believe in one gospel for the remission of sins. What a lie. A lie is a half-truth. You know? Like the guy goes to the bookie, you know, and puts €100 on the horse, comes back to the wife, where were you? I was out doing some shopping, you know? It's the truth, but it's not the whole truth, is it? And so, the gospel is much more than the remission of sins, so you can go to heaven. The gospel is that you can leave your old life in the past, be filled with his life and his spirit, be filled with his nature, walk in his ways, be empowered by the spirit that was on the first disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, live for Jesus, shine for him, and be an agent of love and mercy, kindness, hope, joy, good cheer, wherever you are. And say, are you on? Nuala, would you share here?
Just add just one little thing there that he said. He he mentioned there that the Word of God is not a history book, but that it brings us, it's the Holy Spirit brings it into a reality in our lives. And the whole thing, the whole reality of the Word of God comes from Passover and the cross. Now, in many of our Bibles, it has, you know, part of our tradition, it has where it comes to Jesus fulfilling the Passover, you know, the Passover of Jesus. It says that they, you know, the Feast of Israel were a shadow of the fullness of Passover. And so, and the fullness is Christ. And so, if you look in your Bibles, actually, you discover when it comes to the Passover in most of our Bibles, the translators have divided sections of their chapters up and put headings. And the headings are not the Word of God. And in my Bible, it has the Last Supper. There's no such thing as the Last Supper. I got into real trouble for saying that somewhere. There's no such thing as the Last Supper. Jesus came to be the Passover lamb. When the hour was come, what is the Passover? To shed his blood that speaks much more thing, reality. I mean, the blood of the lamb in Egypt that got them out of slavery and out of a power that held them captive. That's only a shadow of the power of the blood of Jesus, the fullness of the Passover. So, you know, we're supposed to remember this. It's the foundation of everything. We can never forget the blood. We can never forget the cost to Jesus to take us out of darkness, to take us out of Adam. I taught religion in Ireland for years. I taught religion. I have had to repent of that. I didn't know a thing about this. I read the Bible. I did read the Bible, but I read it like a history book. So, you know, the death of Jesus, you died, Jesus died, something about sin. But I didn't know a thing about being in Adam. I didn't know I had a spirit that was disconnected from God because of the sin of Adam. I was an Adamite. Amen. Now I'm a Heavenite.
Right.
You're not just an Irish person or wherever you're born from. You're something new that God made possible when he took us out of Adam. I didn't know any of that. So, you know, why did I begin by saying about the Last Supper not being a reality? Jesus came to be the Passover lamb. And when the hour came, that his past, his, he knew it. And he sent his disciples to prepare the Passover meal. And he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was going to do. And so something incredible happened. It cost him everything. It cost me. He took the sin of the world, broke the power of the devil. The devil got power when Adam and Eve listened to him, and they chose to be guided by his direction rather than total dependence on God. Not to go our own way, which Ireland did yesterday. We depend on God. We live by God. We hear from God. We seek to hear his voice. And we can't know it without this, the Word of God, not as interpreted by tradition. So he said, it says in, the Apostle Paul says this, when you do this, he said at that Passover meal, not his Last Supper, he said, when you do this, what did he say? Do it in remembrance of me, of remembrance of what I'm doing. This is bread that represents my body, bruised, wounded, broken, death for you, death to the Adam man. He was man and God. And he took the cup, and this is the blood, represents the blood of the new covenant, God's covenant with us. God's covenant with us. And he said, do it, you do it. Now, my buddy here, he knew something about Greek and Hebrew in the seminary. But anyway, one day we're talking about this, and, you know, maybe people don't know. Actually, sometimes we've been all around Ireland and all kinds of churches, and, you know, the Catholics interpret the communion, the Last Supper, say, in one way, and then the Protestants, so do, and evangelicals, even some of the charismatics, so don't want to be Catholic that they're flippant. And when we take the bread, we have to do it in remembrance. What are we remembering? What he did, what was accomplished, the reality of it. And, you know, we talk about these things, but, you know, we don't really know. And so he wants, there's a special word for remembrance. It's only there. It's not a remembrance of historical fact. It's something amnesis. I don't know anything about amnesis, a Greek word, but it makes effective, active and effective in the now every time you do it. What was accomplished? Jesus, everything he did, the word. And I often say, Lord, this is reality. This is faith, what we believe in. Make active, Holy Spirit, the Spirit leads us into all truth. Make active and effective in my life. Today, not just when I give my heart to Jesus, because there's more. You know, there's more. What was fully accomplished by you in your cross, your shedding of your blood, your burial, old man dead. That's why adult water baptism is just saying, I'm dead, I'm burying my Adam life. And your resurrection. It's not just about the resurrection life of Jesus, yours and mine. We have to rise in him every day. Rise. And, you know, the world may go its own way. We can wring our hands about the world, but we're to be the light of that world. Amen. And we're to lead them out of half-truth into the wonderful truth. And I know, when I pray that, nearly every day I pray that, you know, I can have communion walking down the street. I can be remembering without the elements. See? Lord, make active and effective in my spirit, soul and body what you accomplished by your death, burial and resurrection. I remember. Cost him everything. For that Jesus said he gives us his joy. Joy in what? The world doesn't give you joy. But the reality of what Jesus did. The full gospel. The full gospel. I could cry over some of the thing I thought. But I've got a chance to go back and tell the people of Ireland what the Holy Spirit will do if we let him. And he has much more to do in all this. And we never discover the fullness. So don't get bored with fellowship and with this wonderful word.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, two things I want to pray by way of ministry, by the Lord's asking the Lord to do for us right now. I'm asking the Lord to give every one of us a new baptism in his love. That you're not going to be hiding a little bit from him. That you're going to come all the way and have the boldness to enter into the full love that you absolutely don't deserve. But that it will transform us. That it will be flowing in us and flow into us and flowing out of us. And that that love would also heal any hurts and pains where we've been rejected or feel mad at ourselves. That will all be released to the cross. That we'll be spend our lives at home in the Father's love. That we'll be baptized in the love of God right now in the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to pray, after that, we're going to pray that we'll all receive our commissioning from the Lord. So while you're seated right now, just receive. Open wide your heart, your hands maybe, and just receive from the Lord and say, we just say this, Father, you don't have to repeat it, but you can in your hearts repeat it. Father, we're coming home. We're coming home to the Passover blood of Jesus, to our destiny, to live as sons and daughters of God, to be loved by you as Jesus was loved by you. I thank you, Jesus, for your absolute generosity in sharing your Father with us and making him our Father also. We thank you, Lord, we're recovering our identity, and the identity theft is being removed from us. The accuser tried to steal us of our identity and said, you don't really belong here. And we declare that through the blood of the Lamb, we're fully accepted. Now, Father, we ask you to pour your fatherly love into every corner and every cavity of each one of our hearts right now. And Holy Spirit, you communicate directly, not just through the teaching, but through your own infilling and transaction, Heavenly Father's intense fullness, Niagara's thermonuclear love for each one of us, and that we will dwell in that dimension, fully cared for by the Father, fully provided for by the Father, fully strengthened by the life of the Spirit, living in this wonderful kingdom of the Father's love. In the midst of a fallen political order, we live in the realm of Father's love. A baptism in love. God's love through the blood, we're fully accepted, and his love is poured into our heart. We'll never be the same again. I ask you, Lord, for boldness for each one of us to be able to just live in there. And knowing who we are, it doesn't really matter what the world thinks of us. Now, immediately, Jesus said to the disciples, his followers, his apprentices, that he'd asked to do his works, live by his ways, and remember his words. He says, as the Father sent me, so also I send you. I've got a commission for you in Ireland and wherever else I may lead some of you or many of you. As the Father sent me, so also I send you. How many would put your hands up and say, count me in, Lord. Count me in. That would be my meaning for living. My home will be in your love. And I'm going into the world just to be an instrument of love, of joy, of kindness, of hope, of good cheer, of understanding, of mercy, of salvation, and of healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us into the world, every one of us in this room, as just as the Father sent you. We might be in a pretty bad old darkened world where a lot of people don't seem to have much interest in you, but we'll go where you send us. And now, Lord, I ask you the calendar pages of each one's life, the squares that make up a day for the next 10 years, for the next 20 years, forever, however long we have on the earth. I pray it's a good long life for everyone. But you fill those calendar squares with the good events, the divine appointments, the connections, the friendships, the relationships, the outlets for love and mercy, salvation and healing that you have for every single one of us. Now, Lord, we're all drafted. And I ask you, Lord, in this new Passover, we'll Passover for living for the world and its agenda. Passover from that. To live for you and for its kingdom. And having passed over, now we receive a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit and power to proclaim the marvelous words of works of God wherever we go. Are you on? Amen. Are you in? Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us and continue to make this place in each one of our individual lives a mighty lighthouses for you and for your kingdom. Watch out, Ireland. Here we come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.